Wow, that's really cool. Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. We've got a great guest across the way. We're going to talk about all kinds of different things today. Talk a little bit about Hollywood and talk a little bit about Fairfield. Talk a little bit about all kinds of things with a former Fairfield girl, Miss Carrie Jones. Good morning, Carrie. How are you? Appreciate you being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
One of the other things we're going to talk about is a subject near and dear to your heart, the Kasem Foundation. Carrie Kasem, what's the name of the foundation?
The name of the foundation is Kasem Cares.
Kasem Cares. Mm-hmm. Kasem Cares. And we'll talk about that throughout the course of the morning. But before we get going, let's give folks a little background on you in case they do or do not know. I got to tell you, if anybody has been going to musicals or anything at Fairfield in the 90s, they knew Carrie Jones. You were the little whippersnapper up there who sang really loud, right? Is that right?
Yes, and I'm proud of that.
See, because I think I remember you were one of the kids in Annie, right?
I was. I actually did my first high school musical. I was in The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
I played a munchkin.
Okay.
And then I was asked to come back to play a role in Annie. I played the youngest orphan in,
nice.
In Annie. Yes.
That your life has changed a little bit since then, I bet. I bet the preparation for work is a little different. For working in the show business is a little different than
it is.
But who's your family locally?
My parents, John and Linda Jones.
Uh huh.
I grew up here my whole entire life. Very proud to be from Southern Illinois.
Sure.
It's always nice to come back.
How often do you get back?
I try to make it back every 3 months, or at least two to three times a year.
Yeah.
Always Christmas. Never miss a Christmas.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Although I can only imagine Christmas in California is pretty nice.
I will tell you, it's bizarre. I was there for one Christmas Eve, and I was driving down Hollywood Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And instead of having beautiful Christmas trees,
right.
the lights that they had displayed were of movie reels. So it's not quite the same.
That's a little different, isn't it?
Exactly. It's not quite the same as being in Illinois for Christmas.
Well, I guess it would. I guess it would be a little. I was figuring you were going to say that they had decorated the tops of the palm trees or something.
Oh, well, they do that as well.
They do that
as
well?
Yes. Oh, it's a big to-do there. But it still doesn't feel like home because at the time I actually had a convertible.
Uh-huh.
And I was driving down Hollywood Boulevard in a convertible with the top down.
Sure.
On
Christmas Eve.
Yes.
You know, it just doesn't. It makes you wonder if Santa's actually going to come when there's no snow.
I feel sorry for the kids.
Well, welcome back to Fairfield for sure, and we appreciate you being here. Where have you gone? You graduated Fairfield back in the 90s, and then moved out to L.A. in the early aughts, I guess, right?
Right.
What exactly have you done out there since then? Well, let's get people caught up before we get to the other stuff.
I've done quite a bit.
Widely varied, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Widely varied.
But I moved to Los Angeles in, I think, 2001, and I just told my mom and dad I want to see the world. I want to do different things.
Yeah.
And considering I'm an only child, I was surprised that they let me move there.
Well, you were probably 20 or so at the time.
I was.
Not a whole lot they could do to stop
you. Well, looking back, I think that they say, what were we thinking, letting her move there?
Oh, is that right?
Yes. But no, I mean, it turned out to be wonderful. I love it there. But I've done demo work, like singing demos.
Okay.
For,
so you went out there to get into the show business.
Show
business.
Yes.
What is your specialty or has it changed over the years? Because I know as the years have passed, and I know some other people who are in show business, they have other jobs, and you do too.
Correct.
Yeah.
I did pretty well. I started off, I did several demos for artists such as Avril Lavigne, mm-hmm. Demi Lovato, Kelly Clarkson.
You would sing a song that they, and just for them to hear it, and then they would end up using the song?
A producer would call me up on the phone,
okay.
and ask me to sing a song that they have written so they can pitch it to artists.
Okay.
So I did that for a while, and I enjoyed that. Then I was contacted. I was on the television show The Pussycat Dolls,
uh-huh.
which was on CW.
Yeah.
And I was the last contestant before they picked the whole group. But no, it actually worked out great because most times when you get eliminated from a reality show, they you know, give you a hard time. Like, this is why you're eliminated. But in my case, they were, the judges were extremely nice, and they just said the reason that you're not being picked for this band is because you need to be a solo artist and be in a group.
Well, so, see, now that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. So that made it worth it. You know, I hopefully didn't do anything too bad to embarrass my parents.
I'm trying to remember. I remember I didn't see it. I must apologize. I did not see the reality show for the Pussycat Dolls. It's not my kind of music, I don't think. What kind of music is that?
Is it pop? And it's not really my kind of music
aimed
either.
Aimed at kids, I guess? Aimed at teenage girls?
Yeah.
Popcorn, bubblegum.
Yeah, it's bubblegum, but it's a little racy. So that's why I said I hope I didn't do anything to embarrass
parents. I do remember there being the occasional thought that might be racy.
Yes. But I didn't, you know,
Well, see, now you're still able to show your face.
Yes. Yep. My mom said, please don't do anything that makes us have to switch churches.
That's important. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Tell me a little bit about the reality show process. Yeah. I see, you'll see the occasional show like Survivor ended last night. And you got to figure that these people aren't sitting there talking all the time. They've got to be pushing them to say stuff, right?
Yes. And that was part of the problem that I didn't want to buy into.
Kind of a pain in the neck, I'll bet.
Yes. I didn't want to buy into that because whenever we were doing the show, we had it was a writer that would interview us, and he would be asking us questions off camera that we would have to respond to, and he was kind of pitting all the girls against each other.
Oh, really?
And I said, I know what you're doing here. I'm not going to do that.
How many did that start with? Like 10 girls or something? And they got it down to 5 or
it actually,
20 girls or something? Wasn't it?
Whenever the auditioning process happened, I think it started with maybe 50,000 girls.
Well, I meant when you got to the filming part.
When it finally got to the filming part, which we were put up in, you know, a hotel for 2 months, isolated from everybody, our cell phones taken.
Yeah.
Not fun.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you're basically, they take your phones away and you're have to live with these people for...
I was actually in a hotel room by myself for over a month. And it came Father's Day, and I said, somebody's got to give me a phone. I got to talk to my dad for Father's Day. But yeah, they disconnected the phones.
Wow.
That you are completely isolated from everybody.
I had no idea.
Well,
I mean, I don't watch The Bachelorette either, and I The Bachelor, and I presume that's how that goes too, right?
I guess it's just because it wasn't alive. It wasn't happening live,
right,
like right away.
Right.
So nobody wanted any outcome, you know, or to know anything that's happening.
So there were no calls in to like get rid of Carrie this week. Or
exactly.
Something.
So then once
you see, no, that's cool though. You didn't have to shill to the general public audience. Please vote for me or something like that. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, which is nice. I mean, my best friend Jordis, she was on The Voice.
Uh huh.
So she was she was sequestered in a hotel as well.
Okay.
But it was still every week. Vote for me. Vote for me. Vote
yeah.
for me. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Looking back,
number of years passed.
Looking back, it was a great experience, but I was a little bit older than the rest of the girls, so the cattiness and just the reality of it. I mean, it was...
No! I can see the immaturity of a 22-year-old versus you were probably 27 or 8 or something.
I was 25, and some of the other girls were 17,
oh,
18.
No.
It was a great, like I said, it was a great experience, and I'm very proud. I have, you know, on YouTube, you can see all the videos, and it's something that I did that I was proud of, and like I said, I didn't embarrass my parents.
Wonderful.
So.
Great. That's wonderful. You've learned and moved on from it.
Would I do it again? No.
Is that right? Well, I could understand that too. And you moved on, and now you're doing. Are you still doing demos for folks, or what are you doing?
Not really.
In the show business, do you still have a toe in show business?
Not really. I probably could get back into it if I wanted to, but you know, my life kind of took a drastic change.
Sure.
So I guess I'm a little bit more mature now. And
well, that's cool.
And plus, the music business is so different than what it was years ago.
Well, you know, people aren't buying records
or
buying albums anymore,
exactly.
Right?
And that kind of leads me into what happened after the Pussycat Dolls show. I got signed in a girl group with Sony, and our girl group was managed by Britney Spears' manager.
Really?
Yeah, and we had the best team, and our attorney was the executor of Michael Jackson's estate, John Branca.
How about that?
So we had a great team behind us, but we really got to see how bad the music business was.
I tell you what, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about that, and then we'll get. But I want to cover this Kasem Cares because this is such a great organization.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about that. I've got Carrie Jones in here. She's a former Fairfield girl living in California now and visiting mom and dad. How nice of you to come back 3 or 4 times a year. By the way, that's so thoughtful.
I'm an only child. They're all I've got.
Do they send you the plane tickets?
Actually, I got my plane ticket this time myself.
How about that?
Yes.
Carrie's on her own. We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW FM after this. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Bruce Dickey here along with Carrie Jones, my guest this morning, a young lady back visiting the folks from Hollywood. We were talking about a group that you were in and were finding some success. You had the right connections, it sounded like, somewhat, right?
We did. There was an open audition, and I was placed in this girl band.
Okay.
Girl group. And
this is kind of interesting to me. The music industry, basically, I just saw a documentary on the Monkees, and you know, had hundreds of thousands of people try to get in the Monkees or something like. And basically, these producers will just pick and choose folks to put together, right?
Yes.
And see what kind of sound they can get.
Yes, and that's how they did it with us. They held open auditions, several open auditions, and they called me, and I joined this, and they had already known me from being on the Pussycat Dolls television show.
Sure.
So I was placed in a group with three other girls.
Uh-huh.
One of the girls, her name's Jordis Unga, and she was on Rockstar NXS, the reality show.
Really?
And also, yeah, she was one of the finalists on there, and also second season of The Voice, and she was top 10 and on Blake Shelton's team.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we were all in a group together. It was great. We got signed to Sony, and we were managed by Britney Spears' managers.
Okay.
So it was, yeah, we had all the team lined up, ready to go, but the music business just is not the same as what it used to be. And now whenever you get a record deal, a lot of it has to do with they call it a 360 deal.
Right.
So instead of just getting a record advance, the record companies need to take a portion of your touring, merchandise, all of that stuff. So anyway, long story short, we had a nice record deal, but after our record companies spent $500,000 on us, we still didn't have a full album.
Oh my.
And it would take probably even a million more dollars to actually go out and promote it. So we got dropped, which happens. But you know,
that's a good experience, and you made connections out of that.
Absolutely. I mean, being managed by Britney Spears' manager.
Who is Britney Spears' manager?
His name is Larry Rudolph.
I bet you that guy's got some stories.
He does.
All right, I got to. You probably can't tell.
Absolutely,
he probably hasn't told you. But why'd she shave her head? Drug testing? You know, that's all we hear is drug testing out here in the Interlands.
I don't think it was drug testing. I think that she had bad extensions and just they were too much work.
She had bad extensions. I love that, Carrie. Yes. That's a great answer. Well, that might be true.
I think it probably is. Wow. But, you know, I do have stories, but that's not,
I'm not going to talk about. I'm not going to get you to talk about the things that you can't talk about. What I'm interested in is tell me about the Kasem Cares. Before we get to Kasem Cares, what are you doing now?
Right now I work for a business litigator in LA.
Okay.
As I said before, my life suddenly took a change
when you got dropped.
Well, it wasn't that I got dropped. It was, I got a call from my family that my great uncle, they couldn't locate my great uncle.
Oh, really?
And he lived in California.
Okay.
No children, nothing. He's married to his second wife, but it was unusual for us not to be able to call him.
What's
his
name?
His name was Ray Edwards.
Okay.
So it was unusual for us not to be able to call him on the phone because my aunt would do like a weekly phone call with him.
Sure.
And so when that happened, they contacted me and said, can you stop by the house? Can you see where he is?
This is your grandmother's brother, your grandfather's brother?
It was my grandfather's brother.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a kind of a close-knit family because my grandfather lived with me and my mom and dad.
Sure, sure.
For many years.
Right.
So it's, even though I hadn't seen my great uncle in a while, it's family is family.
Sure, family's family.
So I.
So you found him, or you?
This is the craziest story. I called the house, went by the house, banged on the door, called the police, went to the police station.
Uh-huh.
Nobody could tell me anything.
Wow.
Because the HIPAA laws, you know, they're not allowed to tell you about. Anybody's health. Exactly.
Yeah, you were not an assigned or a POA or something.
At that time, correct.
Yeah, health POA.
Yes. So I decided this is so important. I need to find him.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 2 weeks. I went up and down the halls and called and just went up and down the halls at assisted livings and nursing homes and hospitals. I went to probably 6 hospitals. I went to at least 25 assisted livings.
Really?
And walked up and down the hall because since I can't call and say, hi, is my uncle there?
Yeah.
And they can't tell you. I had to go and walk up and down the halls and look for his nameplate on the side of the
No kidding.
And finally around the 30th place, I found him. And he was sitting in the hall in a wheelchair, didn't have his own clothes, didn't have glasses, didn't have his own shoes.
What had happened?
I guess he had fallen, which I'll put that in quotes, at his home.
Yeah.
And they took him to a hospital, then to an assisted living or a nursing home.
Okay.
And so when I found him, the first thing, after 2 weeks of searching, so imagine how much that escalated. I just was so excited to see him. The first thing he said to me was, I was beginning to think no one was going to find me in here.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And that moment, my life completely changed.
And at the time, he didn't have access to get a hold of anybody, I guess.
He didn't have anything. And so I started visiting him after that. And, you know, after...
Things got real then, didn't they?
They absolutely did.
To use the old phrase, but that's... So, how long ago was that?
That was back in 2011.
Okay.
So, anyway, so I started taking care of him, coming to visit every two days.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah.
And he started telling me stories about how he was abused by his wife.
His second
wife, yes.
Okay.
He had married her after his first wife passed away. She was kind of a mirror image of his first wife, only she wasn't as kind.
Yeah, okay.
And he started telling me about how anytime they would argue, she would beat him with a cane.
Oh, my.
Just horrible, horrible stories. So after his wife found out that I started visiting, she came to the nursing home and demanded that he be released.
Ugh.
And she looked at me and she said, you are nobody. You are nothing. You are just a niece. Never speak to him again. And he just put his head down. So she had been isolating him for so long, telling him bad things about our family when all we wanted to do is see him.
He was beaten down.
Yes. Yeah, he was. So when she took him home against medical advice, against doctor's wishes, when she took him out, I gave her my phone number and I just begged her, please call me if anything.
Yeah.
Wasn't but a month later that he had fallen. Again, I will put that in quotes. Oh. But I showed up to the house to what looked like a murder scene and blood everywhere. And he comes out.
Oh, awful.
He comes out masking tape all around his face.
Masking tape.
Yeah, instead of Band-Aids. Yeah. And I said, I think we need to go to the hospital. He agreed with me.
I suspect, yeah.
He agreed with me. So I took him to the emergency room. Uh-huh. All the time his wife is protesting, do not take him to the hospital. Do not take him. Do not call the emergency. So, but I took him, and from then on, he decided to give me power of attorney.
Uh-huh.
And
how bad was it? Did he get admitted at the time? I presume.
Yes,
for a good long time, I guess, to recover.
Yeah, his nose was broken in two places.
Oh my!
The doctors looked at me like, "What?
What'd you do to this guy?"
Yeah, that's the way that I felt. I mean. It was so bad that the emergency doctor or the ER doctor, he told me, he said if he would have had one more fall, it would have been his last.
Oh, my.
So thankfully, he gave me power of attorney.
Yeah.
And I started taking care of everything after that. But another part of elder abuse that he suffered was that I got him into an assisted living facility, mm-hmm. which was great.
And he was still married.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
After that fall, though, he never saw her again.
Wow.
Yeah. We were very adamant on making sure that
safety first.
Yes, absolutely. But the reason that I'm so heavily involved with the Kasem Cares Foundation now is because he suffered elder abuse at the assisted living place
that's amazing.
Got him in, which $5,600 a month, you think that your loved one's being taken care of.
You would think.
And no, it was not a good situation.
How long has he passed now, I guess?
He passed away July 31st at 2013.
Okay. So you were able to rescue him for at least a couple of years of quality living.
Yes, and he just knowing, for him to know that he was loved by his family, and all of a sudden now all of our family were able to come and visit him for the first time in years.
Right.
It was such a blessing and something that changed my life, and that's why I got involved with the Kasem Cares Foundation.
Tell me a little bit about the Kasem Cares Foundation. How'd that get going? Len and I were talking earlier. I remember part of the story about it seemed like when Casey Kasem he couldn't handle his own affairs. He was sick but it seemed like there was a run for his medical care was taking place in several different locations, it seems like, if I recall correctly. Is that correct?
At the very, very end, it was.
Yeah.
But so how I got involved with the Kasem Cares Foundation is after I had to deal with this sort of elder abuse with my uncle,
uh-huh.
after I saw the horrible conditions of a lot of assisted livings, not knowing what to do, I reached out to Carrie Kasem, which is Casey Kasem's daughter.
Right.
I had saw her story play out on national news.
TMZ.
TMZ. I saw it on Yahoo News.
Yeah.
So I thought, I saw. Wow.
Well, that's an awful story. Hers was. I mean, yours is bad. Yours is a rough deal, but hers is a pretty rough deal in itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. Whenever you think about Casey Kasem, you think of his
big star.
Yes.
Big star. He can do anything he wants. I mean, I'm in the radio business. I know how big a star. You talked earlier about how you listen to Casey Kasem every week. I listen to Casey Kasem every week.
America's Top 40.
Billy Rogers. He does the best Casey Kasem impression I know.
Oh, really?
He does a great one. But, I mean, everybody knows who Casey Kasem
and
is. He's Shaggy. For crying out loud.
Yes, he is. Yes. And his slogan is, keep your feet on the ground, but keep reaching for the stars.
Yeah.
I used to listen to him every Sunday morning coming home from church in the car.
Oh,
always hoping to get that, the number one, like hearing the number one single.
Yeah. Yeah, the worst part of it, when you're coming home from church, though, you're, he's only about the 20s or 30s.
That's true, yes.
You had to listen for another 3 hours to get the number one. That's right.
Yes, but so I reached out to, I just wrote Carrie Kasem, his daughter, on Facebook after watching his story, you know, kind of play out in the media. And his story was so similar to my story with my great uncle.
Wow.
He, you know, married his second wife.
Right.
And the second wife started isolating his children from his previous marriage. Started isolating them. They, you know, the visits became very few. Mm-hmm. And at one point, Casey Kasem had some sort of a form of Alzheimer's.
Right.
So dementia started happening, and the second wife started isolating even more.
Oh, boy.
And so she kept his three kids from his previous marriage from visiting him.
Wow.
And then it got so bad to where the second wife moved in her boyfriend into Casey Kasem's home.
I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a short break. We'll talk a little bit more about that and also the organization itself and the good things that
the
Kasem Cares is doing. Here, we're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show. I've got Carrie Jones on. She's a L.A. girl, former Fairfield girl. And Kasem Cares organization is just wonderful. And we're going to talk more about that when we return here again on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, back after these. Folks, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and 104.9 FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. My guest is Carrie Jones, a Los Angeles girl. We've been talking about the KasemCares.org, the Kasem Cares organization. And we were talking before we went to break about how Carrie Kasem, I guess she started the organization. Did she start it, or did her siblings, or what was it? Who was behind it?
Carrie Kasem, she started it.
Okay.
At the very end of her dad's life, mm-hmm. her stepmom, who was Casey Kasem's second wife,
right.
Her name's Jean Kasem,
right.
Which we can mention that.
Sure. I don't want to get too deep into the Kasem part because people are litigious from time to time.
This is all public knowledge.
Yeah.
Jean Kasem pulled Casey Kasem out of a nursing home,
okay.
saying that she's going to take him on vacation. At the time, he had a feeding tube.
Yeah.
She disconnected the feeding tube and put him in an SUV with her boyfriend at the time, her current boyfriend at the time. And
that's the insane part.
Exactly. And instead of giving him proper feeding tube medication or whatever, she just started dumping Ensure. Ensure drinks into his feeding tube.
Oh my gosh!
So to avoid, at this point, you know, Carrie Kasem, his daughter, started doing legal process on how to maybe get conservatorship or how to do whatever. And so Gene Kasem, his second wife, was smart. Well, not smart, but devious enough that she would move him from state to state to state to state.
Dealing with different laws for each state.
Correct. So once Carrie Kasem would get conservatorship in one state, once she moved him to another state, that conservatorship wasn't valid.
Which kind of probably... which kind of gave Carrie Kasem what she knew what she needed to do. She needed to form this organization to help states get their laws fixed, right?
Correct. And it's so unreal how the laws don't protect our elders.
Really?
Now, I knowing what I know, I'm just shocked because
probably flabbergasted.
Elder abuse should be treated the exact same as domestic abuse
and
child abuse, but it's not recognized like that.
Really?
No, it's a silent epidemic that no one wants to talk about.
Oh my.
So anyway, so after Carrie Kasem finally got her last conservatorship over her father, she pulled him from this horrible home in Washington State.
Yeah, I was remembering he was in Seattle or someplace like that.
Just bizarre, considering Casey Kasem, you know, had millions of dollars.
Right.
He was taken from this horrible home, did not even have air conditioning.
Oh, my.
And Carrie Kasem took her father and got him to a hospital. And he had a stage 4 bed sore from traveling. Yeah,
Want to know what that means.
Yeah,
I have an idea what that probably means.
Right, but he pretty much died of an infection. So then the worst part was that Carrie Kasem, as myself, didn't know we needed health care directive.
Really?
So when it came to dealing with, you know, the decedent's body.
Sure.
No one had control. So his wife, to avoid Casey Kasem's wife, to avoid getting an autopsy, she had the body taken to Canada, and eventually buried in Norway in an unmarked grave. So they couldn't do an autopsy on him to determine how he passed away. So that's how his wife avoided elder abuse charges.
Unbelievable.
It's seriously such a sad thing, and that's why I'm here today, really, is to raise awareness, because not a lot of people talk about elder abuse. I mean, I'm the last person that you would think
I plan on you coming in here and telling me all kinds of pussycat doll story or whatever.
No, it's just
spilling about Britney Spears. That's all I want to know about Britney Spears' hair. All right, now tell me, Carrie. Like I said, I've got Carrie Jones here. Tell me tell me the good that they've done. They've been successful in California, haven't they?
Absolutely. So what? Right now, the Kasem Cares Foundation, we are dedicated to stop elder abuse in all forms, because elder abuse is...
And you're deeply involved in this organization.
I am. And you know, how I met Carrie Kasem was I just reached out to her on Facebook.
Yeah,
after I saw the similarities in both of our stories, I thought, wow, this is somebody who has a voice. I need to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And then we come to find out we share the same name. Our mothers... Both are named Linda.
Oh, is that right?
We have both. Our boyfriend's names are Jesse. She actually auditioned for the Pussycat Dolls.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So
my goodness, that's a good get for you to actually get into the gig. I mean, when Casey Kasem's daughter can't get into the gig, and she's a pretty girl too. I mean,
she's
gorgeous.
She's stunning and so well spoken as well. Yeah. But anyway, so you know, once I started being involved with this, the goal is really just to raise awareness for elder abuse. So what we're doing now is we have a visitation bill is what it's called. And it's already been passed in California, Texas, I think Washington. Illinois is our next goal state.
Illinois is the next big goal.
Yes.
I bet it, you know, because they got somebody who might be able to come back to Illinois and recruit from time to time.
Exactly.
Potentially.
And I'm excited about that. But what the visitation bill is it gives...
Lobby from time to time. That's what I meant to say.
Right.
Yeah.
The visitation gives basically adult children the ability to go and visit their parents if a spouse is denying that. And you would already think that those laws
that's
are
amazing
in place.
To me that that's not there already.
It's not, unless you get a conservatorship. And if you get a conservatorship over your family member, that costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars
each time.
Yes, and it's each state.
Yeah, and it doesn't, and it doesn't flow from one state to another, does it?
It does not. So, what the visitation bill is that we're really, you know, lobbying all over America is that it just basically gives a judge the right to say, "Hey, you're allowed to go see your father or your mother." The judge looks at the whole situation, like the track record, I guess,
right,
and says, I think that you are fit enough or well enough to go visit your father without having to spend thousands of dollars for a conservatorship.
It's giving an impartial person the chance to make the decision on whether a son that maybe a second wife doesn't like, a child that maybe the second wife's trying to keep away, possibly isolation in this particular case. And it sounds like in your particular case too, right?
Absolutely.
This gives another relative a chance to reconnect, right?
Yes, and it's not anything about money or any of that. What it is, it's just connecting with your family member when somebody says no, you can't see them. And I, like I said, I'm just so blown away that this is not already a law. I mean, who knew? Who knew that this is not something like you can't go see your father if the wife says no?
I imagine that Carrie Kasem, you said a little bit ago, Casey Kasem had millions of dollars. I don't know. Nobody knows how many. Somebody might know how many, but we don't. Had millions of dollars. It's amazing to me that even a person with that kind of wherewithal, that this could happen to them.
That's why elder abuse is such a silent epidemic, because if it can happen to him,
that's exactly right,
then obviously it is happening everywhere. And I will tell you the statistic now, 1 in 10, 65 and older, will suffer with some sort of elder abuse, whether it's financial, physical, mental, emotional, sexual. 1 in 10, 65 and older.
That's awful.
65 and older. And that's just now. And that's not even including that the baby boom generation is happening. It's only going to get worse. So awareness needs to be raised. Families need to know, like, what to look out for, warning signs. And it's just such an important thing, because you know what? We wouldn't be here if it weren't for our elders.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they should be treated with so much respect, and instead they're being silenced by this.
How can folks learn more about this?
I would suggest go to kasemcares.org, which is www.kasem, which is K-A-S-E-M, cares, C-A-R-E-S, .org. You can find out, we have a hotline, you can find out statistics.
Oh, really? So if somebody suspects elder abuse, maybe of a family member of their or they're being abused, they can call this hotline too, huh?
Yes, and I know the people who are running the hotline.
Really?
So, yes, I trust that so much more, because I had dealt with Adult Protective Services in the past. They didn't do anything.
Oh, really?
After I found my uncle, you know, bloodied on the floor.
Yeah.
Where banded, or masking tape all over his face. I called Adult Protective Services. They said, oh, well, we were slowly bringing a case against him.
We would have gotten to that.
Yeah, exactly. And there just needs to be more people raising awareness about it, because Adult Protective Services didn't help me at all.
You mentioned earlier in the show that this created, 5 years ago, a major life change in you. It seems like to me you're probably a quite more aware person now, aren't you?
I am.
I don't know. I don't know if I could say happy. Are you happier? You're more fulfilled, I would presume. Is that right?
Yes. I have a different focus, I guess, now. My parents are very happy because I am, because they know,
I love the fact.
They know that I will take care of them, and I have the knowledge to be able to take care of them.
There are probably senior citizens all over the county right now, or all over the area, writing down stuff and planning on giving it to their kids so they learn how to treat the elders right.
I hope so, but it's so important, because we're all going to get older.
Oh,
we're
sure.
all going to grow old. We're sure. all going to be in this situation. So let's raise awareness now to help others from not having to suffer from this.
So how's the Illinois work then? You'll find yourself a representative or something to introduce the law?
We actually have Representative Laura Fine.
Okay.
So if anybody's listening out there, I encourage you to write letters to your representatives.
Right.
Laura Fine is behind our visitation bill now.
In Illinois,
yes. Uh-huh. And this is, I'm very passionate about this because I want this visitation bill to be passed in our state.
Sure.
So write letters to Representative Laura Fine or to your local representative.
Yeah, David Rice Dale Ryder. Right.
Yes, and please just tell them that you want this bill to be passed because the Kasem Cares Foundation is not just about this visitation bill.
Right.
It is about stopping elder abuse. Right. It is about raising awareness. We're doing PSAs.
See, that's the thing. I mean, I had no idea that these kind of things were happening until the Casey Kasem. I mean, whenever you hear Gene Kasem is taking this guy who everybody knows from state to state to state or whatever. It's just weird.
The fact that his daughter is pretty much following Gene Kasem with Casey Kasem in the SUV to each state and can't do anything about it is mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing.
So if it happens to her, if it happens to Casey Kasem, who is a legend, he's a legend.
Yeah.
If that happens to him, it can happen to anyone.
Carrie, this hour has flown by.
It has.
Thank you very much for coming on here. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you so much. And please, just everyone listening, please be aware. Elder abuse happens everywhere. Please just look at warning signs and don't let it happen to your loved one. It's really important.
Thanks so much. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Talk to y'all soon.